We want to welcome you this morning to Barber's Grove. We appreciate each of you being here. We'll have announcements and things in a minute. I appreciate Rita. When she got up this morning, she had no idea she was going to be leading the music. She probably was just like me about going out of the door whenever she found out she was going to be leading the music.
She can do it.
I can do it.
She can do it, you can too.
Yeah. But we're glad that you're here. We pray that the Lord will bless you. And we'll say more about that later. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, it's good to be in your presence. We thank you for each person that's gathered in your house. Lord, most of all, we're grateful that you're here. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Speaks to our hearts. Father, you know the need of each person that's listening in this congregation. Those that might be listening in the parking lot. Those that are listening on the website. And Father, I pray that today your Spirit will speak to each one according to the need that we most desperately have. And Lord, I thank you that because of your love, you'll do exactly that. I thank you that you want good things for us, bless things for us. And so, Father, I just pray now that the Spirit of God bless this people, honor you, and bring praise to the name of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
He really could do this morning. We're going to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. That's on page 334. The words are on the board if you prefer that. So Kathy?
This is my song, praising.
Again, we want to welcome you to the service this morning. Whether you are in the congregation or in the parking lot or on the web, we're glad that you've joined us. Glad to have Libby Hartzell and her handsome grandson with us for the service this morning. Now, many of you know her as being the Stanley Baptist Association Secretary for or Administrative Assistant for 15 years, and she was my secretary at Prospect for 12 years before that, and she still speaks to me. I mean, you know, that's, but we're glad that you're here, and we're glad to have Janice and Bobby back after some ailments, and my wife back, even though I can still outrun her since she's on crutches, but we're glad to be in the Lord's house today. Want to remind you, services as usual, 9 and 10. Wednesday night Bible study. We're having a good time studying prayer. And we'd like to invite more of you to come and join us as we study prayer on Wednesday nights. Have announcements that Jeff gave me that on September 25th, there's going to be a bike ride. The proceeds going to Rodney Urey, who is the fire chief at Oakboro. You know, he's been sick for a long time, and says bikes, cars, jeeps, and fire trucks. So most of you would fit under that. So it's a motorcycle club sponsored, and so if you'd like to be a part of that. You can see this announcement, or you can talk to Jeff. He can tell you more about it.
Roddy may not get back to work for as long as a year. He's in rehab. He is out of the rehabilitation center and out of the hospital, but he still has a lot of issues, even walking. So it's going to be tough, and the family needs the help.
All right. Thank you. Remember, we... in the middle of giving our North Carolina missions offering. You did a great job last week, and I know more was given this morning, and have the rest of the month. And also, if you notice from your newsletter, we sent $1,000 to the Raleigh Baptist Association to help with Afghani refugee families. Ted was asking me how many people it was. I don't know. They said 52 families. So if you think three or four of a family, that'd be a couple of hundred people. And they said they needed $150,000 right quick to, they got to feed them, clothe them. If they got little ones, they're going to need diapers and all that kind of stuff. So that's trying to get them resettled. And so we were able to send $1,000. And then at the end of the month, we'll give you an opportunity if you'd like to make a contribution to further that event, that amount. Other announcements I need to make.
Y'all continue to remember Ronnie Louder. We're going to have another meeting Tuesday night at 7 o'clock here at the Fellowship Hall.
All right.
And if you want to help, also, I'm going to need cakes, and I'm going to put a cake sign-up sheet at the back of the table. So if anybody can bake cakes, the benefit will be October the 9th. We need cakes here by October the 6th.
Okay.
And there'll be a Saturday we're going to make slaw. And I'll let you know for sure what day that'll be, probably next week. This thing's thrown together quick. We're doing it totally different than we normally do a benefit because of the COVID. So it's kind of an experiment. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm just playing this by ear.
All right. I believe Jeff also has a video about the North Carolina Missions offering. And if it's as good as the one last week, you're going to get a blessing.
God can move a mountain. I've heard that term before, but you don't relate to it. After a lot of praying on my knees, God, I need you. I need some help. God came through with Baptist On Mission and moved a mountain. I'm a testimonial. I don't have a problem testifying to it. I'm the recipient of the work the Baptist On Mission and the volunteers are doing. Thank God. He can do it, and he will do it. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Sometimes you want to give up. Sometimes you say, this, you know, I can't do this no more. This is my last effort. And just as I was getting ready to give up, God said, just hang in there. It takes time. I've been telling folks that it looks like the Baptist Home Mission brought out the 82nd Airborne of volunteers. They came in and they squared off and they started pouring concrete, building frames on this house and putting the roof together. And I tell you what, I'm very much excited. Since they've been in my life, things are different. I can't say thank you enough for all the volunteers have been doing to try and turn my life around. A home allows you to be at peace. I can't wait to get the key quick enough. God has. He has moved a mountain for me.
Thank you for your gifts. We're helping people, and then, you know, I think the Baptist Stone Mission are in Louisiana, and they're down east, and I think they're up north, and in the mountains of North Carolina. You know, they're just scattered everywhere. They're getting, and if any of you would like to volunteer, they'll give you some training. Sometimes it's construction. Sometimes it's doing meals. They have some big food trailers. All kind of things that you could do if you're able. And you don't have to be terribly healthy. I had a little lady up in the mountains that when I first got there, they diagnosed her with something akin to MS. They said it wasn't MS. And she was on one of those four-pronged deals. And I know she went to Honduras. She went to Florida. She went to Katrina when Katrina hit. She went everywhere and helped feed and do other things. There's just no quit to her. So they could use somebody else if you'd like to join. Now, as we have our prayer list, last night when I talked to Leonard, he said he'd see me this morning. When he called me and said he wasn't coming, he was more than singing bass. He sounded right terrible. And he said, you know, he thought it was a bad cold, but under today's circumstances, he didn't think you'd feel real comfortable with him being here, so Miss Rita's filling in. Also, we understand that Lionel has COVID, so we want to pray for him. Continue to pray for Shirley Edwards. She's still in the hospital. Charles Hadley, need to remember him. Who else we need to remember? All right, Terry Burris is in the hospital with COVID.
Both of his son-in-laws, our son Jeremy has it, and so does Chris, but they have milder cases.
Okay. All right.
Angela Briggs.
Okay. And
as of Friday, I heard that my niece Brenda is off the ventilator. Thank you for your prayers.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right. And anybody else? Let's pray.
Pastor, I've got the family of Steve Austin. He is a friend of ours' dad. He was one of the bus drivers at South Stanley. He passed away with COVID this week, so just lift that family up.
Okay. All right. Father, as we bow before you this morning, our hearts hurt for these that have lost loved ones, for these that are in the hospital. I didn't mention Angela, but Lord, we just pray for Angela Frick. As well as for Shirley and Donna and Leonard and Miss Nell and all of the others, Lord. I'm grateful that your mind is so much bigger than mine, that you remember people that I don't begin to remember. I'm grateful that you can read our minds, and there are people that we have prayer requests for that we didn't bother to mention, but you know that deep down in the recesses of our hearts, we whispered their name. So let's lift them all up to you, Father, that the Spirit of God would touch, bring strength, bring healing. Father, we know what a joy it was to have Brother Terry Burris here just a few weeks ago for homecoming, and it makes us sad to hear that he's in the hospital with COVID. For Lionel, we just lift them up to you, Lord. May they experience your comfort. And Lord, I thank you that whether they're at home or in the hospital or somewhere else, nursing home, rest home, rehabilitation facility, that the Spirit of God can be with them to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen. And I pray, Father, now that you'll do that. Then, Father, in a few moments, when we start looking into your word, may the Spirit of God be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Our next hymn is page 445, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Again, the words are on the board if you prefer that. So if you'll stand with me now while we sing.
See you.
Children dismissed. It's all right. Time we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, my mind goes back about 65 years because I was the oldest and Mom was at home with my little brothers. I went Wednesday night prayer meeting many a time by myself. You know, it wasn't too many blocks to walk over to West Alamo Baptist Church. And I don't know how many times I walked home singing Sweet Hour of Prayer to the top of my lungs. And I just wonder if people with the windows up and sitting on the front porch, what they thought of that little kid going up the road singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. But hey, I loved going on Wednesday nights. We used to have a contest, see who had more there, the 25 and older or the under 25. And we'd all stand up and count off, you know. And sometimes it's the younger ones, sometimes it was the older ones. But it was a joy just to go and pray together, and I learned a lot. Listen to some of those old saints of God praying to the Lord on those Wednesday nights. Have you ever thought about what makes a preacher proud of his church? What are the things that please him? Makes him glad he's the pastor of that particular church? Now, I remember, you know, 50-some years ago being the young pastor in the group, and I'd go to some pastor's meeting, and we'd sit around and talk, and I'd just listen with my mouth hanging open to what the older pastors were saying. And one pastor, he'd be so excited about his Sunday school attendance. And then some other pastor, he'd be so excited about his choir. And then there'd be some pastor that'd be so excited about the new building they were going to build or had just built. And some other pastor would be so excited about all the money they were making every month from their fried chicken dinners. And another one maybe with how many new members they had taken in the past month. All kind of reasons they were excited. But what would excite the Apostle Paul? I mean, after all, they didn't have Sunday school back then. Most churches didn't have buildings. I doubt that they had choirs. And I know for sure, or pretty sure, they didn't have fried chicken dinners to raise money. So what would have excited the Apostle Paul about church that would make him proud? What are the characteristics of a church that are really important? What really is important about a church? And as we think about these in a few moments, how well does Barbie's Grove measure up? And I know you're going to be shocked because we're only going to look at one short passage of Scripture, just maybe two or three verses. Now, usually, you know, your fingers are tired by the time we get home because you flipped through 8 or 10 passages. But this morning, just one passage of Scripture about something the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth. Now, you may scratch your head just to even think about it. I mean, after all, the church at Corinth was a messed up church. You know, they had factions. I'm from Paul. I'm for Peter. I like Apollos. Well, I'm just a Jesus person myself. And you know, there was perversion in the church. And some of them were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. And they were suing one another. They were arguing over who had the best spiritual gifts. And you think, preacher, they had something positive going for them? They sure did. And Paul is very complimentary about this church. Now that proves to us that we don't have to be perfect. Now it's better if we don't have a lot of those things in the life of the church. But even in our imperfections, there's something about a church that can be a blessing. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let's look at the first phrase of verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything. Now, Paul says, you abound, you run over, you have plenty of. There's an abundance of something in the life of your church. There's a lot of it. It's wonderful what's in the life of your church. And then look at what he says. In faith. Now, I looked in a number of different translations. One of them has faith. Another one has faith. Another one has so much faith. Another one has you trust in God. But the one I really like the best says you have unstoppable faith. Here was a church that had powerful, powerful faith. That even though the devil was working, even though they were living in a hostile climate, a culture that was not Christian at all, they had unstoppable faith. Paul says you abound in unstoppable faith. Isn't that fantastic? To have a church that had so much faith in God, so much faith in the Word of God, so much faith in the things of God, that the devil knew he was up against a formidable foe. He says, you abound in unstoppable faith. He also says you abound, what else? In utterance. One of them says articulate speech, expressing yourselves. You have so many good preachers, speech. You have powerful preaching. All of those are different translations of that word utterance. In other words, when they got together, somebody had something powerful to say. Somebody had a word from the Lord. Somebody was saying something that was a blessing. Paul says you abound in faith, you abound in utterance. And then he says you abound in knowledge. Other translations, you're insightful. You have so much learning. You have revelation knowledge. Now you see, there's knowledge that you learn by experience. There's knowledge that you gain by study. I'm sure all of you remember everything you learned in high school. Oh, sure you do. I remember, you know, maybe 25 or 30 French words. But that's all. I can open my Greek New Testament, and now it really is Greek. Same way with my Hebrew Old Testament. No, there's knowledge that we learn mentally. There's knowledge we learn by experience. But revelation knowledge is that which God has shown us. Isn't it fantastic the way you can read your Bible? And you're reading a verse that you've read 1,000 times, and all of a sudden you say, wow, I didn't know that said that. I didn't realize that's what it meant. Or sometimes, you know, you're reading and think, well, I've read that chapter so many times. That verse was never in that chapter before. And yet it was. You just didn't have the revelation knowledge that the Lord gave you this last time that you looked at that verse. So he says, you have unstoppable faith, great preaching, and you have revelation knowledge. In other words, God speaking to you. And if God's speaking and you have the knowledge, that means somebody's listening. Now, I know God is always speaking. There, sometimes folks don't listen. You remember both the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter? Both said in different places, I'd love to give you some meat, but hey, you folks can't handle it. I just got to keep giving you the bottle. You remember that? Got to keep giving you milk because you can't handle the meat. God has so much he wants to reveal to us. And here was a church that even in spite of all of their difficulties, there were some folks in the church that were getting it. They had spiritual ears to hear. How many times did Jesus say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear? You remember after Jesus told that first parable about the sower that we looked at last week. And the disciple says, we don't get it. And Jesus said, if you don't get this one, you won't get any of them. And he had to go and explain it to them. Here was a church that had revelation knowledge. And then he says, you have all diligence. You bound in diligence. Passionate, zeal, enthusiasm, earnestness, passionate devotion. In other words, these folks really cared. They weren't just lackadaisical, apathetic. They were really on fire to serve the Lord. You remember the church in Revelation? You're lukewarm, and I wish you were either hot or cold. Sadly, there are a lot of believers these days that aren't very passionate about the Lord. But here was a church where they had great passion. Great passion, great zeal, great devotion to the Lord. And then he says, you have a great love for us. They loved the Apostle Paul. They loved the leadership. They had a great love for the Lord. They had a love that shared. They had a love that cared. They were a loving people. Even though they had problems and they had difficulties, they still had a heart of love. And then at the very end, Paul says, so that you abound in this grace also. Now what's going on, the whole context is, the previous year, the church at Corinth had said, we want to take up a special offering to help those poor saints in Jerusalem that are going through starvation. And Paul, in this whole context, is saying, let's get it done. And let's get it done. And if you look down in verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, so that as there was a readiness of will, so there may be a performance also of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. Paul says you had a willing heart. You started this a year ago. Let's bring it to completion. And he says, bring it to completion based on what you have. Those that have much, give much. Those that have less, give less. Those that have little, give little. Paul says it's based on what you have and what you are able to do that God is pleased. So here was a church that also was abounding in their loving giving. Now notice that there were six things that church was abounding in, even though it had problems, even though it had difficulties, even though it had some things that were not perfect. Unstoppable faith. Great preaching. A revelation knowledge. A great zeal. A love. And a love that gave. All of those were a part of the life of a church. And those are the things that really count. Those are the things that really count. Those are the things that make a great church. Those are the things that make a great Christian. And we have to ask ourselves, what about me? What about me? See, in order for a church to have those characteristics, individual members of the church also have to have those characteristics. It starts with us, and the more of us that have those characteristics, the greater it is. And we can strive for those in our own life. How do you develop unstoppable faith? What does Romans say? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing comes by the Word of God. It's not a matter of God opening up a little niche in your head and pouring faith in or in your heart. We build our faith as we study the Word of God, as we meditate on the Word of God, as we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. And the more of the Word of God that gets saturated in us. Now, if it just floats around in our heads, that doesn't help. It's got to be saturated down into our hearts. But the more the Word of God comes saturated down into our hearts, the greater our faith is going to grow. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And to develop unstoppable faith is a matter of how much we're going to spend in the Word of God. Now there comes a point when that unstoppable faith has to go out into action. Peter could have sat there in that boat and listened to to Jesus says, come on, walk on the water. Peter said, yeah, I can walk on water. Jesus said I could. Peter had to get out there and try. And we don't know whether Peter walked from me to Pam or me to Ted or me to the back door, but we know he began to sink. But don't forget, he walked on water before he sunk. And he walked on water coming back. Now he might have tried to be real careful and watch where Jesus stepped so he could step exactly the same places that Jesus stepped, you know, coming back. But Peter had to get out of the boat. His faith had to be put into action. I think about this Bible teacher that travels all over the world that I know. He said the first guy he prayed for to be healed, not the kind of prayers we usually do, but, you know, like laying hands on somebody according to the last chapter of Mark, or anointing somebody with oil, as in James. First person he prayed to be healed died. And he says, you know, I didn't pray for anybody else for a long time since I didn't want to kill anybody else. But he does it regularly now. He had to step out in faith, believing the word of God. And now many people are healed under his ministry. He's more of a teacher than a healing evangelist, but many, many people are healed under his ministry. He had to step out in faith. You think about Peter, when he and John were going to the temple that day, and he sees this guy begging. And he says, well, I don't have any silver or gold to give you, but what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Peter grabbed him and jerked him up. And the guy goes into the temple, running and leaping and praising God. Peter had to get out of the boat. Peter had to reach out and touch him. Now we build our faith as we study the word of God, but if there comes a time when we have to put it into practice, we have to put it into practice. I have a preacher friend that says, we wouldn't need faith if we didn't need faith. Let that sink in for a minute. You wouldn't need faith if you didn't have something that you were facing that was a difficult situation. We can build our faith. This church at Corinth had developed unstoppable faith over a period of months, as they had listened to Paul, to Peter, and to Apollos, and as they studied the Word of God, the Old Testament that they had, and they developed that unstoppable faith. And you and I as believers can see our faith grow. Now, it's not wrong to be where we are now, but hopefully 5 years from now, we'll all have a greater faith than we have today. That our faith will have grown. Then notice he mentions utterance. You know, another place the Bible talks about a word spoken in due season. Only as we begin to share. Those of you that are Sunday school teachers. First time you stood up, scared silly, weren't you? When I first started preaching, I'd have never been out from behind that pulpit because people would see my knees going. We have to start. But that inspired utterance, that great preaching, that great sharing comes from listening to God, God giving us a word to say, and sharing it. And it may be in a pulpit, it may be in a Sunday school class, it may be on a one-to-one basis. How blessed your friends and family and acquaintances and even strangers are When they have a situation and you can say a word from the Lord that's inspired to deal with their exact situation. And what a blessing it is when somebody says, that's what I needed to hear today. Oh, so thank you for sharing that with me today. I was so blessed by what you shared today. And zeal. Remember, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, stir up the gift that's in you. Zeal is something we continue to be aware and allow the Spirit of God to show us, okay, you're calming down, you're cooling off, you're slacking up. Zeal is almost like, I just do it because it's got to be done. Sometimes I look out at the yard and I think, man, it needs mowing. I don't want to mow. I'm not interested in mowing. I walk behind a mower. I don't ride in ease like with zero turn mowers like some of you. I walk behind and I look out there and I know it's going to be a 2 to 3 hour job depending on how. But sometimes I just have to grab myself by my collar and say, son, it's not going to mow itself. And I just have to do it. And sometimes zeal in serving the Lord is the same way. We just have to do it. We just have to take the time to do what needs to be done. Now, wonderful thing about it is, mowing the yard's basically in my strength, but serving the Lord is in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And also, the more time we spend with the Lord, I love that verse in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I would sing that little chorus to you, but we'll forego that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And love, we can just continue to love people. And giving, some people have a special grace gift, according to the Bible, of giving. And they're the kind of folks that just like to give. I think about my first church. We had some kind of youth thing that we're going on. Maybe we're going to Caswell or somewhere else. And I've got 2 or 3 kids that can't afford it. I had 2 guys I could go to and I said, I need money so that Susie or Johnny or whoever can go. And they just pull out and hand me $100. Now, $100 is still a lot of money to me. But 50 years ago, that was a lot of money. They just had that grace gift of giving. And you may or may not have that grace gift of giving. But all of us can give. And one of the things I appreciate about Barbie's Grove is the way you give. When I look at what you've done in the last couple of years for the Baptist Children's Home, for the North Carolina Missions Offering, It's amazing what you did for West Stanley Christian Ministries last Christmas. How many shoeboxes you did for Samaritan's Purse. There are a lot of folks in this church that have a gift of giving. And I thank the Lord for that. You care. You really, really do care. You see, when Paul looked at this church at Corinth, you know that he tried to correct all the faults. But Paul didn't leave them thinking, man, we're a bunch of losers. Paul says you are bound in some things that are so vitally important. And these are the things that are vitally important in every church. Unstoppable faith. Powerful speaking of the word of God. Zeal. Love. Giving. All of those. All of those. My encouragement to you is you cultivate those gifts in your life. And the more each of us cultivate those traits and characteristics in our lives, the greater our church will become in those gifts, those characteristics, those traits. And the more powerful our church becomes in the kingdom of God. It's not a matter of how many of us. The matter is how close we are to each other and to the kingdom of God. One of the greatest examples of that is the old story of Gideon. He's facing an enemy army of 110,000. He's got 32,000. So he's outnumbered 4-1. God says, you got too many. Gideon says, did you count these guys? And 22,000 of them were scared, so he let them go home. And then he gave them that water drinking test, and another 9,700 of them failed, and he sent them home. And so Gideon, the Lord said, now Gideon, you got your committed bunch. You got your prepared bunch. Now take that 300 and go for it. Now what's he outnumbered? 1 to 3,000 or something? A whole bunch. But who won? Gideon and his army. When we have the right spiritual characteristics, God can bless, and the devil's on the run. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that ye abound in this grace also, which was the giving one. May that be true in your life, my life, the life of the church. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If there's anybody that's listening to me, either in this service or in the parking lot or on the web, that needs Jesus as Lord and Savior, would you receive him right now? Just admit, I'm a lost sinner and I need Jesus. I know that he died for me. I know that he rose again. And today I commit my life to him. I proclaim, invite Jesus into my heart and proclaim him as Lord and Savior. Would all of you who are listening make a commitment of your life? Lord, I want to grow in these characteristics that are really important. Lord, I want to have a greater faith, greater ability to speak the word of God. Lord, I want to receive revelation knowledge. I want a greater zeal for Jesus. I want to love you and love others. And Lord, show me ways to give that will be a blessing. If you'll make that commitment right where you are, the Lord will honor that commitment. You'll be surprised in a few months or a few years at how much you've grown in the things of God. Now may the Lord keep you, the Lord bless you, the Lord make his countenance shine upon you and give you peace as you go in the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.